our mind about some places we go and don't go, some things we do and we don't do. So I'd like you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Furthermore then, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He says, listen, I want you to have the right kind of behavior. I want you to know how to walk. I want you to know how to please God. And he says, this behavior is going to transport you into something else where you're going to recognize how vital it is. There's a reason for this. And he says in verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Would you read verse number 3 and 4? And 5 together with me, please. Reading out loud. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Father, I pray that tonight you would help us to understand what the will of God is. I pray that you would help us tonight to not only understand it, but to determine to live by it. And would you please protect us and prevent us from that which would ruin our lives, ruin our bodies, ruin our hearts, ruin our minds, and ruin our families. I pray, God, that you would help us to abound more and more in your work, in your walk, in our worship with you, and that you might be pleased with what exits this church tonight. And I'll pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and soon coming Lord. Amen. He says in verse number 3, for this is the will of God. I don't know about you, but I'm always interested in the will of God. Anybody interested in knowing the will of God? I'm on that wagon. I want to know what it is. The Bible speaks many times about the will of God. He talks about several different things. But he says in this specific passage, he said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know what I figured out? You're going to probably go one way or another. You see, this is how simple it is. You're going to be responsible in your behavior for who you are and what you know and where you're going. But you're also going to be very importantly engaged in your body. And your body matters to God. So question, are you going to abound in the body that God has given to you for God's glory and to the will of God or to someone else? It's interesting to me that as we look at this, we see not only there is the will of God, but you're going to notice in the end of the verse, he's talking about the ways of man. This is the contrast. You're either going to live to the will of God or you're going to live according to the ways of man. Now, the ways of man are simple. It's earthly, it's fleshly, it's devilish. This is just part of life. And this is what he's talking about. So when we consider the will of God, he says, this is what I'm interested in. He said, I'm interested in your sanctification. He says, this is what's important. He says, I'm interested in your holiness. This word sanctification and holiness are very similar. This concept of holiness. And in fact, you'll notice down in verse number 7, read it please with me out loud. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for holiness in your life. God is looking for holiness specifically in your body in this passage. Now that means you're going to have to make some decisions, and this is not going to be easy in our world because everywhere you go, you're going to find distractions. You can't even walk through Walmart and try to pay your bill and put your stuff on the conveyor belt without having to have like Amish horse blinders on you to keep your purity. You drive down the interstate and you're going to see billboards. And I'm telling you, they're alluring you to pull off, to get involved in some kind of lurid and lewd activity, to desecrate your body, and to do what the will of man is, not the will of God. So you're going to have this conflict that goes in, but God says, I'm calling you to sanctification. I'm calling you to holiness. And notice the contrast. He says that the world instead and the ways of man are immorality. He uses the word fornication. Fornication. Now this is an interesting word. This is the word pornea. Many of you know that in this word we find our current day word porn, and pornography comes from it as well. There are several words that come from the root of this word. And it means any kind of sexual immorality or impurity, any kind of thing that would cause us to move away from a body that is holy and sanctified unto God. He says that you should abstain, that you should refrain. So in other words, yes, you're going to have to make some decisions. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm an old man and it doesn't bother me anymore. You know, those things, they just don't affect me anymore. Well, one old codger out in Oregon, I was talking with him about it. He said, I'm 77 years old. He said, and don't you ever let any old guy tell you that when a young dame cute walks by, it doesn't turn their head. They're either not a man or they're dead. One of the two. I said, what are you talking about? He said, listen, you still have that old flesh nature. And it still creeps up and tries to grab you. And I said, you know what? That's what I found in my life. It hasn't gotten any easier the older I've gotten. You know, I got to studying about Solomon. The Bible tells us back in the book of Chronicles that Solomon, when he was old, he ran into problems. He ran into problems with a whole bunch of women. Did you know that? I said, hey, you know what? I wonder how old he was when he was old. So I started doing some study and started doing some figuring up about how old David was and when he gave over the kingdom and when Solomon got it and what happened. And then looked at some traditional history. And you know what it came down to? About 55. About 55. Yeah. You say, well, man, that's not too old. Some of you are saying that was a long time ago. Some of you are saying I'll never get there. Hey. Either way, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of folks who think that it isn't going to affect them. But listen, if you go down to Redbox and rent a movie and it says M in the corner and you think you're mature enough to be able to handle it, you don't know much about who you are. Because your flesh and your wicked nature, old nature, is desiring that stuff and it'll ruin your life. It'll send your mind in a wrong direction. It'll eventually ruin your life, your family. And if you're not careful, it'll take your soul right down to hell. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that sounds a little bit rough and it sounds kind of old-fashioned. And I don't know if I agree with that. You know what the Bible says here? Paul says, he says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, this holiness that needs to be here. He says, verse number 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and what? Honor. So that's the second thing. Your body is not only for holiness to God. Your body is for honor. God gave you a body, and it's to be used in honor, but you're going to have to possess. You're going to have to control that vessel. A few weeks ago, we were down in Florida, and a missionary family came to one of our services. And they said to me, they said, Brother Merrill, you know, you've been a blessing to us over the years, and we just thank God for your ministry, and it's impacted our family. And we want to do something to honor you. And I thought, I wonder what that is. And they said, would you schedule a special day with us at St. Augustine? I said, okay, let's see if we can work it out. And about a month later, we scheduled a day and we decided we would drive up there and meet them in St. Augustine. How many of you have ever been to St. Augustine, the oldest city in America? It's also one of the most expensive cities. They want a quarter for everything. You know what I'm saying? And the man, he said to me, we want to take you on a cruise. I said, really? A cruise? Well, where's the cruise go? He said, well, actually, it goes in the little river inlet and then right out toward the mouth of the ocean. And he said, it's just beautiful. He says, we want to take you. And I said to my wife that morning, I said, honey, this is a cold morning. This is cold. She said, do you think I'll need my coat? I said, you better take your coat. She says, I don't think I'll wear it. It doesn't look real swift, you know. I said, put your coat on. You'll be glad you did. We got on this little boat, and it was a cruise vessel, and it had a lower deck and an upper deck. And when we got in there, you know what the family that we were with, they said, we want you to get up on the upper deck because you can see more. You can see Seymour. Yeah, you can see all the animals going by and everything else. And I'm telling you, it was so cold. We're out on the water, and it's damp. And I got one of those windbreakers, you know, and I did something no adult should ever do. I unzipped the little hoodie dealy body, and I pulled that thing up over me, and I pulled the little strings that draw tight around you, and I had that thing on, and it looked stupid. And I've got that thing, and my wife, she's all bundled up. The people that are with us, they said, we didn't bring real heavy coats. And they wish they had, you know. And we're in there, and it's freezing. I look over there, and I notice that not only, you can't see that real well there. You know what? Let's cut that light out, that one light. That won't hurt me. You won't see me. There you go. Did I get it?
All right. Anyway, the captain is inside this little cubicle with the helm. And I thought, he's a smart man. He's got his own little windbreak. He knows this deal. But I'm watching him in there, and he's steering the boat. And I'm thinking, hey, this is a big boat. But remember what James said? You can turn the whole boat with just that little helm. Hey, somebody's got to be in control of that. And we finished, we got off of the boat, and we took pictures with our friends, and then we went over to where the birds were. I'm talking about the seagulls. They weren't any of them there. All of a sudden, the lady pulled out a little package of crackers and threw one in the air, and they all came from everywhere in Florida. All of those seagulls surrounded us. And so we're throwing crackers in the air, and these seagulls are going, boom, and they're grabbing them in their beaks, and they're taking them. And that was pretty cool, and I thought, how in the world do they not run into or, you know, fly into each other? How do they control themselves like that? That's amazing. God allows that to happen. And it's just fascinating. And then they said, we want you to do something else. We've done it. We want you to do it. We want you to take one of the little horse buggy carriage rides. I said, are you serious? They said, yeah, it'll take you around St. Augustine. So we got in a little horse buggy, and the horse was there. And you know what's great about those rides? You get the odor with it. Yeah. The horse there, you know. And so, anyway, here's all these big buses and motor homes and cars and everything. They're going by with cloppity, clop, 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 going down the main street. And then we turned and we went around the other side. And I thought, isn't this interesting? And the lady who's holding the horse, she keeps turning back like this. And the horse just going. She's got the reins. And I'm thinking, she's controlling the horse. She's controlling, the reins are controlling the horse. You got to have some way to control this thing. And we got over around, took a side street, and there was the Protestant cemetery. Well, that was interesting because the graves are on top of the ground. I said, what's that all about? She said, well, the Protestants believed that the grave was just a temporary holding place anyway, and when they went north, eventually during the good weather, they'd take the bodies of their families with them, so they didn't put them way down in the ground. They just put them in a temporary place until they could take them up north and bury them when they got back up to where they wanted to go. I said, that's interesting. I believe it's a temporary holding place too. And I had a little chat with the lady who was driving the horse. We had a good time. We went by a little hotel, and she said, this thing was one of the fanciest things you ever saw. All the big wigs with all the big money, they used to come down here and stay here. It had an indoor swimming pool. I said, are you serious? She said, but nobody wanted to swim in it. They had no water filtration system, and so the water all got real green and gooky, and you couldn't see down. And in fact, people died in there because they'd go in trying to swim, acting really cool, and they couldn't survive it, and it did something to their bodies, and they found people in the bottom. It was a bad situation. I said, you know what the problem was? Somebody wasn't controlling it. They weren't superintending over the pool. You know what I'm saying? I said, interesting. Fascinating to me. And she took us around to some of the other places. And then the folks who brought us, they said, now we're going to go take a nap, but we want you to go over here to the fort. I said, oh, that's nice. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we went over to Fort San Castillo, San Marcos or something like that. Beautiful picture off to the side. And then the fort on the other side, you can't see it very well there. But anyway, nice big fort. It's all done with this coquina. You know what I'm talking about? It's like shells that are all mixed together. And it's very resilient to like the things that would be shot toward the fort. And we're walking around the fort and going through all those things. And I'm saying, why would they have this? And you know what one of the guys said? They built this fort to control the waterway. Man, every place I'm going, I keep thinking, somebody's got to control something in order to be able to protect it. Your body needs to be protected. And God has given you the opportunity to possess it or control that vessel. And he says you're to do that in sanctification and honor. Now, here's what's going to happen if you don't. Galatians chapter 5. Hold your finger here and go over to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And we run into this fornication word. In verse number 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, porneia,
uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You're going to find these kind of lists in various places. Jesus gave one in Matthew chapter 15. We find Paul gives the longest list of these kinds of sins in Romans chapter number 1. And he says in verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You say, well, I don't know much about any of those. Well, listen, if you know anything about the other stuff that's like it, most of us do. Most of us have a pretty good recollection of what's going on because we live in a world that's hung up on it. It says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, what? Inherit what? The kingdom of God. You see, if you don't get this right, and if you don't allow God to possess your vessel and give yourself in complete control over to Him and say, God, you've given me a responsibility. I have a stewardship of my body to take care of it. I'm going to have to protect and control it in sanctification and honor. You know what? You can lose your own soul as a result. Now we can go back to Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6. We can see this over and over again. Not only damnation to your soul, but also disease to your body. That's what happens. The Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 1 that these things are going to be manifest in their body. These awful, wicked things that are going to be the consequences of sin. And now we have an onslaught of venereal diseases, more and more developments of AIDS, and though it's swept under the carpet, as it were, it's still a result of illicit sexual immorality in most cases. In Indiana, just a few weeks ago, they were concerned about 78 cases of AIDS in one county, where normally they might have less than 5 in a year. Now 78 cases, and they said it was a result of needle sharing. I don't think they were given the whole story there, but I don't know. I'm just telling you that God has given to us an opportunity to do something with this, not only disease to our body, but also distress to the mind. Isn't it an amazing thing? You say, no, wait a minute, nobody knows about my fornication. Nobody knows about my wickedness. Nobody knows about that illicit affair. Nobody knows about that time I was in the parked car, and we were just kind of doing our thing, and we just got to kind of petting each other, and then we just started to kind of develop sort of this thing. Because nobody knows, because there's things to cover it up now, like contraception. Like abortion. I'm going to tell you something. You can't ever cover up what your mind knows already occurred. Because in the sight of God, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And though you might think that you can get by with it, your mind won't allow you to, and I won't even bore you with all the stats from psychoanalysts and psychologists and psychiatric wards and everything else who say we've got a whole different kind of problem going on now among people who have engaged in these kind of activities. And they don't even know Christ. You say, wait a minute, so are you saying that this is something that unsaved people do? Shouldn't we expect that? Well, yeah, that's because that's who they are. Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He says in verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. There's a funny word. It means longing after that which is forbidden. Even as the Gentiles, which what? Know not who? God. They don't know God. This is what happens. They say, man, I gotta have it. I'm walking through the store and I see a guy, he's got a 12-pack of alcohol. And he says to the clerk, he says, man, when I get home and I'm really going to party. I'm going to party all weekend. And I looked at him, I said, is that the best you've got to do this weekend? He looked at me kind of strange and he never said anything. Make up your mind, make up your choice. But he said, this is why it happens in our world. These people don't know God. This is why people are in such dire straits. Hold your finger there or your bulletin, do something, and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look what he says in verse number 12. Ephesians chapter number 2. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Why do they have no hope? Because they're without who? God. Where? In the world. They don't have God in the world. Listen,
If unbelievers do this naturally, then when we have God and we have hope, then shouldn't we also say, God, give us the strength to be able to work through this process? Listen, the devil is going to be strong because some of us have lived in that so long. It's not easy. We were in Anderson, South Carolina last week. When we were there earlier, a man came to me and he said, Brother Merrill, he said, when you came into town, did you come down Route 28? And I said, yes, we did. He said, did you notice a place of ill repute on the left side? It was a strip joint and a bar. I said, yes. He said, you know what? I used to go there every night after work. He said, but when I got saved, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in order to avoid the temptation, he said, I take a detour and I go down a side street and I go around so I don't go by it, just so I won't be tempted to pull in there. There's a wise man. You say, well, man, I work on the road. I talk with these kind of people. They work on the road and there's nobody around and they live in a motel. And you can have free channels of whatever you want anytime. One of my buddies said, you know what I told him to do? I said, listen, I want you to come in and remove the television. They said, we can't. We've got them all screwed down. He said, I've got a screwdriver. Go ahead and fix it. Just take it out. I don't want to be tempted to do that. You say, well, he's not much of a man. Listen, I respect that kind of a guy who knows that the flesh is strong. You say, well, wait a minute. What about girls? The same thing is true. We're having more and more issues with females now in areas we never had before because of the onslaught of wickedness and books and movies and internet pornography. And families are affected. Thousands of people every second, 3,200 people every second are clicking on adult sites. 1 out of 8 people in America, every minute is clicking on some kind of an adult porn site. Think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You say, wait a minute, are you pointing somebody out? No, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm just telling you, there could be a possibility among those that are pointing that there's an issue. I could have easily come over on this side. Listen, I don't know what the issue is, but I know this. Many a man has lost his faithfulness to his wife because of clicking around in the dark corners of their room in secrecy. And you don't even have to do it on a computer anymore because now you can extract your phone from your hip and nobody knows that you're doing your work or you're getting your jollies off your phone. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of quiet in here. You know it's true. You say, preacher, are you assuming that we have a problem? Yep, I'm assuming because we all have the flesh. We're all people of the flesh. And what are we going to do? Oh, we got a mess in our culture? Yeah, but it's more than that. Listen, I wish I didn't have to tell you this, that missionaries and pastors in the privacy of their own studies are without accountability and without somebody to help them and without certain blockers and other things are violating their minds and their bodies before God, and they're ruining their lives and their ministries and their futures, and they're willing to throw it all away for a fantasy. You say, I'm going into ministry, and preachers don't do that, do they? Preachers are people. People have old flesh natures. Look back at Colossians chapter number 3. Look what he says. Colossians chapter number 3. He says in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Here they go. First one, what is it? Fornication. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which he also walked some time when he lived in them. You remember when you lived in those things? How many of you have a nice pair of jeans that when you really want something comfortable, you just throw those on and man, they like fit to you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or how about a pair of shoes? You got a new pair of shoes here recently and you couldn't get them to work for you.
Yeah, I tried it and they pinched, they hurt.
You got to keep on wearing them, don't you? Just keep on wearing them. You say, man, once I live in them for a little while, they'll get better. They kind of conform to you. We lived in these sins. We thought these sins were just, whew, this is the way we function. Oh, we didn't like it. But we were trying to find some kind of success in the pleasure of this world. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. Hebrews 11 says. So now we think, God, how are we gonna work through this? He says, but now also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Verse number 8, you see that list there? Anybody willing to say, yeah, I've done one of those. Anybody willing to put your hand in the air? I've done one of those. Mm-hmm. The rest of you are lying. Yeah, because that's what this old flesh wants to do. It wants to go down into the dungeon, and I don't know what's down there, and don't let me say it the wrong way. I'm just telling you, it takes us down instead of upward toward God. So he says, be careful and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And he says, verse number 11, Christ is all in all. There's the example. There's the one we're looking for. It's not about whether I can do better than you or whether or not I can do better than the neighbor or better than somebody else. No, our example is Christ, and we look to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, this is what happened. The Gentiles, they go after the vanity of their mind, but they didn't know it. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. When you learn Christ, then you put off that stuff and you put on Christ. And now there's a new life. It's a different life. And we have to say no to some of those things. And we say yes to God. Why? Because we want to live to the will of God and not the ways of man. So look at verse number 8. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, he's therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his what? Holy Spirit. So now you know something, that your body is not only a place for holiness and a place for honor, it's a place for the house of God. That's what it is. He says anything else is going to be uncleanness. God hasn't called us to uncleanness. A lady came into our RV and she said, wow, this is immaculate. Are you telling me your family lives in here? Yeah, my wife, she likes it clean and neat. And I like it clean and neat. And everything has to be in its place. That's not easy, is it, son? And especially now. Whew, I tell you, he's got two drawers. Two. His siblings all get mad at him. We only got one drawer. Now you get two drawers. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, he's also got all of their jobs, too. Yeah, and you're doing a good job at that. I like that. God has called us to holiness and honor and the house of God. And he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look there, please, a familiar passage for those of you who love to study your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither. Isn't it funny how it always seems to head the list? It puts it right at the front. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You talk about hitting cultural issues of the day. He's right on target. Right on target. And he says, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed. Such were some of you. Aren't you glad there's a but in that verse? He says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that that conjunction is in there? When I was a kid growing up, we used to sing that little song, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. That was just trying to learn the conjunctions. I can't ever get over that one. Such were some of you, but you're washed. Oh, there's been a change. Something has happened to you. Something has changed. And he says, now the Spirit of God is doing something. Look on down. I wish we had time to go through the whole passage. But he says in verse number 18, flee what? Fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, let's say it. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means you're going to have to be careful about that, and you're going to have to ask some questions like, what I put in matters. Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's important. Listen, by the way, you want to know a shortcut to fornication and uncleanness and ungodliness? Alcohol. That'll send you right that direction. It'll take the inhibition away from it. Be cautious. Be cautious. Just today, I heard a report about what's going on in Colorado since they legalized marijuana. They're putting it in food now. They're putting it in candy bars. They're putting it in cookies. They're putting other stuff in there. Talk about fascinating. This thing is mushrooming beyond control. And people are jumping off of bridges and out of windows and other stuff like that. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've already lived through some of that. We went through that years ago. And we think that we're going to be able to fix that. You better be careful. Whether it's food or whether it's alcohol, whether it's chemicals or whatever else, and then what you put on is going to matter. You make sure that you get your body covered, because that undress is what's going to cause people to lust. And the Bible says all you got to do is look. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her, once you look, then you lust, then you get involved in the lewdness. That's what happens. He's committed adultery already in his heart. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if you look on ham and eggs and lust, you've already committed breakfast in your heart. That's pretty good. Hey, listen, you're going to have to be careful about this. Be careful. Because this is an issue that is right smack dab in our face every day. You say, well, it's not mine because I go to Christian college and I don't have to worry about it because we don't have all those kind of allurements. You better be careful. You better be real careful. Don't you ever think that you're immune to the heinous claws of sin? Be careful, be careful what you put on. I got it. I went in to get gas this week, and as I was getting ready to pull, I pulled up to the pump, and a lady got out of a car in front of me. She had red hair. I mean red hair. It was redder. That's pink. It was like your boss right there. I mean red hair. It was dyed red. I thought that's the most unusual natural color I've ever seen. That was amazing. And then the other door opened on the other side, and a guy got out. And he had on a t-shirt, and he had pants, and he had red underwear. Excuse me for saying it, but that's what it was. His pants are hanging down here, and he's holding on to his pants down there. You know what I'm talking about? I thought, are they trying to match? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. A guy came up to me. I was in Greenville, South Carolina, and a guy came up to fill the gas, and I was surprised. Anyway, they do that in other states, and he came. He's got a boom box on his shoulder. I mean, this great big thing like this, you know. And he goes, hey, dude, what do you want? I said, just fill it up. But, hey, man, there's a new world out there. He goes, what you talking about, man? What you talking about? And I said, it's a new world. I mean, like, you can get a cell phone that'll hook right on your ear. I mean, you can go hands-free. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, there's all kinds of hands-free devices. He's running around. He's holding his drawer down here because he can't keep them up. His pants are way down like this. And he's got a boombox on one arm. He's got his drawers over here. And I said, listen, you're going to have a hard time pumping gas. But I'm telling you, you're in trouble in an emergency, buddy. I don't know how you're going to do it. Listen, pull your pants up, put a belt around your waist, and go hands-free. You can do it. Yeah. You say, he's weird. No. You know why I'm concerned about it? Because I got kids too. Yeah. And I'm going to have grandkids. And that's why I want to make sure that my daughter is dressed when she goes out. And I want my sons to be decent and respectful too. And I'm going to just tell you something. I've had it with wearing unders outer. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We got people running around and they got stuff hanging out every which way. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it's curious. And I'm a man. And my kids are, I got five boys. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in those boys getting to the marriage altar and having a pure heart and a pure mind and a pure pride. And I want to try to train them like that because I believe that that would be to the will of God. That's why when our son-in-law came to me and he said, may I have your daughter's hand in marriage? I said, no, you may have her heart, but I'm going to keep her hand. No, he said, no, I don't want that either. He said, I just want the whole thing. I said, okay, well, let's talk about it. We talked about it. And you know, I sat him down. We went to supper. We did all kinds of things together. And it was good. And I said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to promise me that you will not kiss my daughter until the day you walk down the aisle at your wedding. He said, wow, that's quite a request, Dad. I said, yeah. I said, if you can't handle that, then you're not much of a man, and you can't handle what needs to come down the road. You said, boy, that's putting a lot of pressure on him. You know what? I intended to put pressure on him. Amen. Because I want him to get to the altar pure and holy and decent and honorable. And I'm going to tell you something. When that almost six frame stood that day, and the pastor said, you may kiss the bride, and he pulled that veil back on my daughter, and he planted one on her, the first kiss they had at that altar, and I shouted, praise the Lord. And I thank God she walked down in a white gown. She was a virgin. And that was the first kiss she'd ever had from a man not in her family. And I said, thank you, God. You said, that's a little old-fashioned. We don't do that these days. You can do whatever they want to in these days, but you can also pay the consequences. I'm thinking maybe the will of God is a much better direction to head. And in fact, he talks about there and he says, don't defraud your brother. He says, listen, that no man, verse number 6, go beyond. You go into Walmart, you know what? They got a label there. It's called NOBO. Have you seen it? It's short for no boundaries. I went into Penny's. They were having a half off sale. I said, it must be more than that because there's not much in those clothes to start with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was more than half off. And I'm telling you, it's not the kind of thing we need in our culture, need in our world. And you're going to have to be careful where you put it. Oh, that blockage, watch out. Be careful, he says. He says that no man go beyond. Why? Because God's the avenger of all such. He's going to keep the score. He's going to keep the score. You say, this all sounds just a little bit like out of the past. Yeah. So is the rest of the book back here. You know what I'm talking about? But that's where God gave instructions for his people. So turn back as we close tonight to Leviticus chapter number 18. Because maybe we ought to go back and just take a look at what God said to his people. Chapter number 18. Verse number 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye, what? Not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. And ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. You say, wait a minute, I thought we just read in Colossians how we used to live in our sins. Mm-hmm. But when you do God's will, then you're going to live in the blessings of what comes from being in the will of God. And he says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their, what's the next word? Don't say it too loud. I am the Lord. By the way, if you look down through this passage, you're going to find that same word starts with N and ends with S. In almost every verse going on down for the next 10 or so. He's talking about, it's not right for you to uncover the nakedness of your father, verse 7, your mother, verse 8, your sister, verse 9, your granddaughters, verse number 10, your stepsister, verse number 11, your aunts and your uncles in 12 through 14, and he says your daughter-in-law in verse number 15, or your sister-in-law in verse number 16. Why? Because God knows that when the nakedness is uncovered, that things begin to happen. And that's what will cause you to go down a road that you don't want to go down. A road that leads to death, the man of wisdom said in Proverbs chapter 5. And so you look and you see, this is not the way it's supposed to be done. And he says there are certain times when you shouldn't do this kind of thing. And then he goes down in verse number 22 and he says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. By the way, you're going to find this interesting that the word abomination is most often associated in the scripture with idolatry. That's exactly what happens. In Romans chapter 1, they began to worship the creature more than the creator. It's an idolatrous relationship, and when people begin to do things that man wants to do instead of the way God designed it, then we go down a whole other path. And I'm scared because right now before our Supreme Court, we have an issue that's going on that I believe could possibly, if it goes the way people are predicting, that could nail the coffin of Uncle Sam shut. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the exact same thing that you know is going on in our culture. Same-sex marriage, you say, what's going on? Does the Bible say anything? Here's what he said to Israel. You say, that's Old Testament. We already read about it over in the New Testament. And by the way, just because people have redefined it and said it isn't what it really is, that wasn't really homosexuality going on in Genesis chapter 18 and 19 back there in Sodom and Gomorrah. No, it was just gang rape. And by the way, in Romans chapter 1, it's just pedophiles and those people. By the way, homosexuals wouldn't ever want to have relationships with a woman anyway, so it's natural for them to have a relationship with a man. It's so confusing. I'm just going to tell you, the Bible makes it very clear, and the clear sense of the word is, it's abomination. And that is what God said way back at the beginning. And he goes on and he says, isn't it interesting? He says, the next verse, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. You say, well, that'll never happen. Listen, I'm telling you, you open the floodgate to one, and there's a good possibility we're just going to keep on going down that slippery slope. You say, why does it bother you? Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Verse number 25, here's what concerns me. And the what? The land is defiled. It's not just the people that are defiled, folks. The land is defiled. Listen, if you begin to see what happens in our world and in our culture, and you see what God has allowed, it says here, interestingly, in verse number 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations which were before you. And that's what my concern is. It's not just the people are defiled, but the land is defiled, and the land is going to spew out those people who are going to defy the will of God and go after the ways of man. You say, what's happened? Oh, preacher, you don't think that that drought that's going on in California is a result of the land spewing people out, do you? You don't think those fires that are killing people out there and spreading all across some of those parts, you don't think that's the land, that's what's happening? You don't think those volcanoes that are going on and the earthquakes that are happening in the most unusual places are doing that because it's just Mother Nature, isn't it? I'm just telling you, you better be careful, because our God is a holy God and His word is true. And you and I, we can stand here and we can laugh and we can say it doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you, if you look at history, you can come down to one conclusion. God's still in control. You go through chapter 19 and you're going to find a whole list of various kinds of things he says that ought not to be done. He goes on and talks about marking your body, and he talks about prostitution. He talks about weights and measurements and grades and tattletales and judgments in chapter number 20. He says, don't go after false idols, and don't go after familiar spirits in verse number 6, and after wizards. And I'm telling you, we've got a whole bunch of young people that are going after wizards. You say, well, it's just kind of a story, it's just kind of a novel. Don't you underestimate what your pastor said tonight. We are in a battle, spiritual warfare, and you can't see where the signal is on your cell phone, but it works. And I'm going to tell you, the same thing happens and the kingdom of Satan. There is spiritual warfare going on, and you know what it's after? The souls of men. You say, no, wait a minute, I thought that's what ISIS and Boko Haram were doing. Yeah, they're going after Christians over there, like the video that came out today from those that were killed in Ethiopia, like the ones in Egypt. You say, oh, it's hideous. Listen, this is what's going to happen when people follow the ways of man and not the will of God. So look what he says in verse 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye what? Holy. Would you read the rest of verse 7? I am the Lord your God. See, God says, don't mess around with me. Listen, I don't know. I don't know all the details that are going to happen. I don't know exactly what is going on in your life, but I know this, that if you intend to be a believer who's going to abound and increase more and more, you're going to have to ask God for help to control your vessel so that you control it to the will of God and not to the ways of man. That's about as simple as I can do it. But I'm going to tell you, And this world is not going to be easy. But remember, the Holy Spirit of God, if you know Him personally, lives inside. And He is the one who teaches us and guides us into His truth as we study His Word. And we ask for His strength and His power. And He says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And through Him, we are more than conquerors. By God's grace, you say, preacher, I've been through some of that. It's ugly. I don't even want to go back. I don't even want to go back there. Don't go back. But for your sake and for the sake of the next generation and the next, we're going to have to set up some boundaries and we're going to have to set up some commitment to the will of God and say, God, protect me and cause me to love you and to know how to walk and please you, because that's what matters. Because I don't want to just go through life just like the neighbors down the street and everybody else. I want to abound for God's glory in my body. Father,